I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, it's finally here. The highly anticipated limited edition Smart Wool and Grateful Dead collection has finally dropped exclusively at smartwool.com.
You may know Smart Wool as the go-to brand for all things merino wool, from socks to base layers. Smart Wool has been keeping people comfortable outside for decades with some of the softest and ethically sourced merino wool out there.
Well, Smart Wool's limited edition collection and collaboration with the Grateful Dead is back by popular demand right in time for the holidays.
From t-shirts and hoodies to beanies and socks, now you can have the next level comfort of Smart Wool with all your favorite iconic Grateful Dead designs. Shop the drop exclusively at smartwool.com and get it before it's gone for good. Gone for good. That's Smart Wool, SMARTWOOL.com.
Oh, Teal, I like the new shirt you put on there.
I just got my Smart Wool, so I was like, well, I'll wear it till it gets too hot. And I was like, I'm going to need that shit for Iceland, dude. Yeah. So I ordered it right away. I didn't tarry at all.
I haven't been to Iceland either. That's on the list.
Looks like it from the videos. Jeez.
I was close. We sailed to Svalbard, close to the North Pole, but I have not.
Svalbard.
Yeah.
What was the book I was reading? It's a children's book. The Golden Compass? Where I think the polar bears, that was their homeland, hero Svalbard.
It is. That's like they're in the Arctic Circle there.
Yeah.
Their main habitat, which I didn't know. I thought they were on the South Pole too, but apparently penguins south, polar bears north, and they don't cross-pollinate.
Wow. No penguins in the North Pole.
No.
So every time I'm seeing penguins, it's south. Like, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty wild, right? And there's penguins in, like, I've seen penguins in New Zealand and there's some in Argentina. Yeah. I think they travel, but it's all southern hemisphere.
They don't take it. Interesting how Earth is like that. So that's like a yin and yang, polar bear, penguin.
Yeah, and like sea lions and stuff are in the north, right? I mean, like Alaska. And
the narwhal is only north as well, as far as I know. We didn't see any narwhals, unfortunately.
Well, that might be a good thing if you're
unicorn of the sea. I was hoping to, though.
You're like, I found one.
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about what you do is you just have the ability to see the world from so many different perspectives, you know, from like writing, from traveling, from filming, from art, like all of it. It's like just the best part about like following the bliss.
Yeah.
How did you guys like figure out how to get paid doing that? I was like, does everybody have another job? And because it doesn't seem like you could do another job and do that. Like you gotta, but yet it also looks like you have to have a helicopter.
I mean, it's a trip. I guess I grew up in the mountains, so I didn't ever look at it as I was trying to find it to be a job, but it ended up that way for sure. And was at the perfect timing when the industry was growing, companies were coming in, and everything in the ski industry was just kept elevating in the 90s there. So I've been doing it for almost 20 years now, since I was 16 years old, and it just progressively got better. And then I've started to implement my art into designs and all that kind of stuff. So,
man, there are so many people that are pissed off, right? Like, I know from being a musician, like, most people seem to be in jobs they don't like, and they don't really feel like it's reasonable to, like, just do whatever you want. And you're like, man, I've been skiing since I was 16, and it just kind of, like, you know.
Yeah, totally.
They're probably like, screw this guy. Yeah.
Well, it's like when you see, like, six-year-olds surfing, you know, and it's like, that kid's going to have the greatest life.
I just heard, I didn't look it up, but a friend told me, I'm a rock climber too. I live near Yosemite, and an 8-year-old is attempting to climb El Capitan, which is insane to think about. I mean, Free Solo and Alex Honnold and all that stuff, but pretty wild. An 8-year-old is going
to
climb.
So his parents have got to be climbers, right?
Yes, absolutely. But that'd
be awesome if they weren't.
Going with, it might even be a girl. I didn't read the article. It might be a young girl, but the dad's going with him or her, and incredible to think.
Wow.
But there might be some mountain people, like in Tibet or whatever, you know, like Sherpa people. They're like a big deal, you know. My daughter's been climbing since she's 4.
I mean, and I have 2 young children. I take them climbing, but my one is approaching 5 years old, and I can't imagine him in 3 years wanting to climb 30-something pitches up a wall. And most people sleep on a portal edge, and it takes a few days. And
man, I am so fascinated with the whole culture of, like, Camp 4 and climbing, and the whole, like, just the entire thing from start to finish is just unreal to me. I mean, it's just amazing. Do you mess with Free Solo at all?
You mean, do I solo myself?
Yeah.
On a very low level, nothing like Alex, and it would never. Yeah. I mean, it's more so moving through the mountains with, at some point when you get more and more comfortable and climb for a long time, and skiing, obviously I need to have that knowledge with ropes and gear and all the things. And so once you spend a lifetime doing it, you get more comfortable and you can move through the mountains quicker without roping up for every single thing. And so accidents happen, and obviously there's danger to it, but you're very methodical, thoughtful, and able to kind of assess if you're capable or not. And you just know there's no falling. So,
well, that's it.
But it's nothing compared to Free Solo, the film. Like Alex,
like Marc-Andre and those guys, like, that were just,
that's at an elite level. That's like where I climb normally with ropes and everything, and I'm struggling.
do any of those guys have kids?
Alex just had a kid, but at the point that he did that, he didn't. And then Marc-Andre unfortunately passed away, and he did not have kids either. But I mean, we've lost a lot of friends to the mountains, and realistically, they're so trained and thought out. Alex in particular, like, he rehearses that route, I think, for 10 years until he got it perfect, where he knows every little fiber of the rock. If it feels off, he can decide in that moment, you know, to assess the situation. But but in with mountains, I've lost way more friends to avalanches.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Some things, because Mother Nature is so unpredictable. So when we're skiing or snowboarding in the backcountry, you use your skills and the knowledge that we've gained over all these years to assess the snow, but that's an unknown variable. Whereas rock climbing, free soloing on their level, the biggest fear is if a hold breaks or if a rock falls from above and knocks them off or something, which is more rare than an avalanche, I guess.
I mean, a cramp, a bird flying too close. Yeah, totally. There's so or many things. A sneeze. It's just like you're, and there are a couple of times when, you know, in a few of the docs I saw about that, maybe it was Alex even, he goes like, you know, maybe those people want to do that because they don't have anything to live for or something like that, you know? And it was like, he still has the wherewithal to be like, I'm not ready to do that. So we'll wait until I'm 100% ready to do it. And yeah. I like that. It's like a cautious lack of caution. You know what I mean? I love it. But it's that state. And it's one of the things that we talk about quite a bit is just like that, the frequency that we tap into to really feel life, like to really be alive. And it's, you know, we're dying to chat with you about that because you're in so many ways with the art behind you, the videography, the skiing, snowboarding, all of it, like you're in the moment a lot. And just where, you know, how did you begin to like acknowledge that or recognize it when it was happening, or, you know, just kind of staying out of your own way and staying in the flow?
It's a great question. I mean, I've grown up in this environment, but I say it's just self-exploration and finding out what is authentic to me, the creative process. And I'm sure Oteil can relate to playing bass. Like, no one does it exactly the same. So it's just really looking within to figure out what motivates me, what I want to accomplish, how I want to portray my art, how I want to portray my skiing, and just look at it as a form of art. And then by being in that environment all the time and in that mindset, you train yourself to get into the flow state without needing to realize you're even in it at some point. You know, it's reactionary. It's reading the environment. It's all those different things that influence you and kind of raised me to be the person I am. And I say often that Mother Nature is my ultimate teacher. So she's kind of helped guide me into that realm, really. Cause I don't think it can necessarily be taught. You just learn right. to get yourself there by being true to yourself. You know, if you grow up doing something at some point in time, you try to master it and learn more and more and more, and you learn from your surroundings.
Were your parents big skiers and stuff too?
They were. Yeah. My dad was more so than my mom. My mom is a fair weather skier. She only goes out when it's like beautiful and nice out. But my dad, so I don't know how long this podcast is. Long backstory. My dad came from Budapest, Hungary. They escaped communism. And then when he ended up in California, he was a surfer and full obsessed with surfing, and then came up to Mammoth Mountain where I live now in the 70s and then never left. He just fell in love with skiing and became a full ski bum, is the term used often. And then I met my mom up here and then got me into skiing. And then he actually passed away from cancer when I was 16. And then that's really when I guess Mother Nature then became my ultimate teacher. After losing my dad, it was just a way to find peace and solace in the mountains. So I really took off at that point and kind of made it my career and all those different things.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was
so
wild.
At 16. Yeah. It's that moment of realizing that like there's so much that we don't have control of. So
yeah, totally.
Just to spend the time that we have doing shit we love.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching the video, and for real, you guys do need a helicopter to get up there, right?
A lot of times, yeah.
Okay, because there's this one thing where I think it was a lady. I'm not sure who it was because everybody's geared up.
Yeah.
But there was this, you know, they hit this, I don't know what to call it, not a bank or whatever. This, it seemed like a very, like the crest
comes together. Yeah. We call it spine line. Like if it's
all right, they hit the spine and then this huge thing of snow looked like it broke off and would end up being an avalanche, you know, somewhere down the way. And I thought, that's really dangerous. Like, wow. Like that one thing right there. Is that just me or is that not as dangerous as it potentially looks like?
And funny, it was a lady. It was my wife, actually. Okay. she's a pro snowboarder.
I was like, she's got way bigger balls than me.
she's next level for sure. But yeah, that is, there's so many factors there. But yes, that is dangerous. That was an avalanche, and that she was able to keep herself on top of it and not let it sweep her down the mountain. But when we're
she started an avalanche.
She did. Yeah. That's our mutual friend, Bill Walton, was part of that film.
He perfect loved, narrator voice.
He was perfect. And he loves that scene more than any. He's always talking about on the edge of starting avalanches. But yeah. She started an avalanche, but what we do, what those fine lines are, if you went back and watched the clip, is snow falls away to the lowest point. So it's kind of like peaks and valleys all across the mountain. And so if you can keep yourself on the peak, the snow generally will feed away from you. But the issue is if the snow breaks behind you, like it did with in her case, it kind of sweeps you off for your feet. And then you have exit strategies like, okay, if the snow were to avalanche, because we're dealing with Mother Nature and we never really can tell, where is my safe point? How quickly can I get to another high spot that the snow will feed away from that? And then you also assess, like, at the very bottom of the run, worst case scenario, if the avalanche takes you down, is there crevasses? Is there something I will fall into and never be rescued out of? Is there rocks below? Is there cliffs? Is there all these different things that you kind of just like work through that before you decide to ride that particular line. So in some way she was confident if it did avalanche that she would be able to get herself down to safety, basically.
That's ballsy, man, with young kids. Like,
and this was before children, but we still do it, so that's no excuse.
I would just be like, okay, we can never do it together at the same time, so you can't lose both parents all in one whack, you know?
Yeah.
Well, but then, you know, it's like...
And riding in helicopters is already dangerous.
Totally, dude. Yeah.
Some of those pilots up there in Alaska, because it's the hardest terrain to fly in, are old Vietnam vets or war vets that are very calm and collected in stressful situations, because you get these crazy gusts of wind. You'll have a storm come off the coast that can be there in a matter of minutes that just engulfs the helicopter and all of you. So you have to be able to deal with high stress situations for sure. So, and to go back to your point, yes, we try to stay out of the same helicopter when we can, but we have definitely had times where we both went in. So